How do we usually learn about a concern with health regarding a medical staff member? And I've put these in order of priority, and the top one is your nursing staff, at least from my experience, now going on 40 years, that they are the ones that are our front line, and they're that's the place. It's not going to be self-referral by the physician. I'm waiting on a self-referral by a physician who says, you know, I've really got a health problem. I need you to help me with this. So nursing is where we see the concerns raised. Nurses who are working, my two examples of the those were obstetricians that had the signs of early dementia. It was the L&D nurses who said, we'd been working with these physicians over and over, and something is off. So that's going to be your usual complaint. You will see some, too, with other members of the medical staff, and that I've seen with anesthesiologists who are picking up something with a surgeon. But again, your nursing is the most common. I rarely see it on peer review of a physician's cases, because issues with health are not necessarily going to come up on a chart review. And then complaints by patients and families, perhaps if it's a conduct-type complaint, that when we look into it, we may say, could this be a health issue with the physician? The handling of these types of complaints should be addressed very specifically in that written medical staff policy dealing with health. And that impairment policy that I mentioned at the very beginning, what we've seen over the years is it now covers health and it also covers unprofessional conduct. So it's all been thrown into one policy, which can also make dealing with this a bit complicated, because how we deal with unprofessional conduct is not necessarily how we deal with a health issue. I think unprofessional conduct frequently has a basis as a health issue, but straight unprofessional conduct, just a bad doctor behavior, is not necessarily a health issue. We do need to say, could this be a health issue? But we will deal with it very differently when it's not related to health. It's just a bad doctor behavior versus health. But we've seen a tendency to just throw unprofessional conduct in with health, and they're all dealt with a little bit differently. When you've got a health issue concern, you're going to be generally turning very first to a request for some type of testing or exam. And of course, I know it never happens, but what if the physician refuses to comply with that? So what you need to look at is somehow your bylaws and your policy need to address what if that is refused. And in my opinion, that needs to be a compliance needs to be a requirement of membership and clinical privileges, and try to make all of this grounds for automatic action. You don't want to be spending time trying to initiate corrective action, going after a physician for refusing to comply. It needs to be automatic. If you fail to comply with a valid request for testing or evaluation, be it early concerns on early onset dementia or a drug issue, substance abuse, it's an automatic suspension of clinical privileges until we have compliance. If you don't have that, look at whether you have a provision in your bylaws that talks about if you fail to provide requested information to a medical staff committee. And I've used this with some of the COVID compliance issues where physician fails to get the vaccination that is required. We did not have authority under those health provisions because of the way it was worded. Couldn't quite extend it over to a compliance with the vaccination requirement, but we were able to pull on that provision that says after special notice from a medical staff committee, you fail to provide requested information, and we just said that requested information is documentation of your compliance with the vaccination requirement, and it led to automatic action. So a better approach is to have specific automatic provisions that deal with health, but if you don't have that, you may have some authority in another provision in your bylaws. on the health testing and examination, I dealt with a case recently where the physician provided a health exam by a colleague who did the exam at his house. He just is a neighbor. And so it raised the question of, you know, we really need to have some guidelines on who's going to do these health exams that we're asking for. Needs to be a third party, objective, independent. And that's costly. I'm sure this neighbor, colleague, did not charge him for that examination. So you're going to need to address the issue of the cost of this examination when you're requiring it. But it needs to be someone who is, again, objective, third party. On the exam, request a specific opinion that ties back to that health status requirement. That health status requirement, I gave you some samples in the written materials, but if your health status requirement says the ability to practice safely in accordance with accepted professional standards, then that's what you want in that evaluation letter. I just had a case this week where the evaluation that the physician obtained at the request of the MEC said the physician has no health condition that would preclude him from practicing medicine.